Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. It has been 24 hours since we last spoke, maybe a shorter period of time if you binge listen to this on the God Is podcast. So let me give you a little reminder of what we've been up to this week. We have pulled off slightly from going verse by verse or word by word in the text of Genesis chapter 14. So that we can affirm together with the scripture that the people and the places described in this chapter really did exist. And to do this, we have looked at ancient written records, cuneiform tablets. We identified the Ebla and the Larsa tablets. Just before we move on, I ran out of time yesterday to tell you who discovered the Larsa tablet we talked about. So let me do that now. I find that identifying the archaeologist is likewise valuable for authenticating discoveries. And the man who was digging around ancient El Asar was Sir Austin Henry Layard. As you can tell from the Sir, he was British. A fascinating person. He has supplied the British Museum with many gems, including discoveries at Nimrud and Nineveh, speaking of biblical sites. And he is credited with at least being one of the first in 1850 to find the awesome library of Ashurbanipal, the last great king of the Assyrian Empire. It is a collection of over 30,000 clay tablets and fragments, again, as we have been saying, inscribed with cuneiform, wedge-shaped letters. Visit the British Museum and see that. I highly recommend that you visit there, and why not do so this summer if you can travel? Anyway, Layard worked at Larsa, and he is the one who gives us the tablet we talked about last time. He was a best-selling author, by the way, writing several books about his adventures at the excavations. And when you have some time, check out Sir Austin Henry Layard. Online, read about all his discoveries from the very geography where so much of the Bible takes place. I believe we can and we must use what people like this have unearthed as a means by which we support what is written in the scripture, especially to a doubting or downright aggressively mocking world when it comes to what is in the Bible. We should educate ourselves to what has been discovered and is being discovered all the time. You would be amazed, as I have been, when you hear what some recent finds tell us about the content of God's Word. There are several disciplines beyond theology which are valuable to us in Bible study, and my hope and prayer is that here on God Is, I can bring some of these to your attention. Speaking of which, let's pivot and talk about what we know about the geopolitical realities that make Genesis 14 a credible rendering of what happened in this part of the world in Abraham's day. For geopolitical considerations, I'm going to call on the expertise of another Brit, Kenneth Kitchen. He is a world-renowned Egyptologist and British evangelical, still living at the age of 90. He is the Professor Emeritus of Egyptology and Honorary Research Fellow at the School of Archaeology, Classics and Egyptology at the University of Liverpool, England. So he is very competent and a mature believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as a staunch defender of the historicity of the Old Testament. He argues passionately that the Bible is historically reliable and takes issue with what is called the documentary hypothesis of the first five books of the Bible, that invention of Julius Wellhausen. If you know about that, then you know that is something we have to constantly confront in modern-day biblical studies. Well, Kenneth Kitchen has been so helpful for us in this. And in 1995, in the quarterly magazine Biblical Archaeology Review, he published an article with the title The Patriarchal Age, Myth or History? It is from that article I want to work, and quote. By the way, if you want the whole article, which is very readable, email me or send me a request in the mail. Just mark it something like kitchen article. And now is a good time to remind you to write to me and request the map of Genesis 14, which I will next week be referencing. If you want this map and or this article, write Mark at godisministry.org or write to our post office box address, which will be given later. I look forward to hearing from you. The main point Kitchen makes is that the war, as described to us in Genesis 14, is certainly plausible based on the historical evidence we do have from the history of Mesopotamia in the times of Abraham. Quoting him now, there is one and only one period that fits the conditions reflected in Genesis 14, the early second millennium BC. Only in that period did the situation in Mesopotamia allow for shifting alliances. Let me break down that quote, and then we will see even more of what he means. By early second millennium BC, Dr. Kitchen is referring to the early part of the years 2000 to 1001 BC. The years 2000 BC to 1001 BC are the second millennium. And we can definitely put Abraham in the early second millennium. By Mesopotamia, he is writing about the area where Abram was from, the location of Ur and El-Assar, otherwise known as Larsa, that we have been talking about, and of course Babylon. This includes all the territory between the two great rivers, the Euphrates and the Tigris. It is modern-day Iraq, parts of Kuwait, Turkey, and Syria. And he correctly says, only in that period did the situation in Mesopotamia allow for shifting alliances. By this, he is referring to geopolitics. And by geopolitics, we mean international relations influenced by geographical factors, or how geography affects politics. Genesis 14, as we have read, certainly speaks to political alliances based on geography. We have the four kings working together and coming from the northeast down into the territory of the five kings of the south in a separate alliance with one another. So in order for the biblical account to be true, we have to have a period in history when there was no clear single political ruler or power in this same area, but rather a time of alliances between major and minor, what we might call city-states. And guess what? Such a time exists, making the conditions right for what happens in Genesis 14. What I want to do as best I can with the time we have, both today and tomorrow, is to follow Kitchen's argument that leads him to the conclusion the time of Genesis 14 was in the early second millennium BC, say the year 2000 BC. Let's take his justification piece by piece and begin with this. The events of Genesis 14 had to have taken place before the 12th century BC, the years 1200 to 1101. Why? Alliances like we read about in the Bible could have taken place from the time of the 3rd millennium BC, the years 3000 to 2001, to the end of the 13th century, the year 1201 BC, although geopolitical alliances would have been limited by the Egyptian dynasty's reign and rule in the 15th to the 13th centuries BC. Then, says Dr. Kitchen, in the 12th and 11th centuries BC, conditions in Canaan changed because of things biblical, like the emergence of early Israel and other factors. So, sometime before the 12th century BC was when the events of the 14th chapter of Genesis took place. This is point one. Second, he points out that, quote, in the late 3rd millennium BC, so the years 3000 to 2001 BC, Mesopotamia was dominated for a time by a single power, the 3rd dynasty of Ur, end quote. So, doing the math, in the time before the year 2000 BC, there would not have been room for political alliances because there was this one dominant rule. However, the 3rd dynasty of Ur was overthrown by Elam in 2000 BC. And here is the key. From 2000 BC for about 250 years, he says, no single power ruled in Greater Mesopotamia from Ur and beyond. And when no single power rules, that does not mean nobody tries to fill the leadership gap. We know this, right, from our own experiences with geopolitics in our lifetime. Consider the lack of leadership Putin now exploits in his war against the Ukraine. Feckless and weak world leaders refuse to stop him. And so on he goes, while the people of the Ukraine do their best to defend themselves. Well, when you come back tomorrow, and please do, so we can see through Kitchen's argument to the finish. Tomorrow, we will see how, when no single power ruled in Mesopotamia, conditions are then set for warring alliances. And that sounds a lot like the reality in Genesis 14, doesn't it? It does. We are finding how geopolitics help us understand our biblical text, and we will continue with this next time here, when you join together with all of us, because God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.